Good morning, or good afternoon, or good evening, depending on when you are watching our video worship, or maybe you're listening on the phone or the podcast. Lots of different ways to engage in our worship. And during this Advent season, as we journey towards Christmas, we welcome all sharing that journey. And do share the link, tell people about what is going on around the local churches. Information is in the Jehadol, in the Christmas edition. News of what the local churches in Ardnamurchan, Acharachal, Strontian, Ardgour and Morvern, all that we are up to this Advent, seeking to celebrate the coming of Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. Next Sunday, the 13th of December, there'll be a worship video as usual, but a little different. I'll be sharing that with colleagues from around Lough Arbour Presbytery. A shared worship together with colleagues and friends and church members around the whole Lough Arbour area. For the Ardgour, Strontian and Morvern congregations, I also want to mention that the presbytery will be carrying out a local church review, probably the first one that's been carried out on an online basis. There will be an online meeting on Zoom, 2 o'clock on Friday the 11th. And I hope that many of you will be able to share in that informal conversation with friends from the presbytery and indeed from neighbouring Abernethy Presbytery. I hope that many of you are able to feedback on all that's going on around the church, even in these difficult times. There's an offline questionnaire survey which you can get on the church website, aksm.org.uk/LCR, Local Church Review. Please do engage with that. And even if you are watching this from afar, if there's a sense in which you consider this your local church at this time, I'd be delighted to hear from you and your comments on the survey form. We come together on this second Sunday in Advent to worship our God. Let's be still for a moment as we light two Advent candles, a candle for hope and a candle for peace. Let us worship our God. Let us pray. God of tough truth-telling and grace-bestowing, God of judgment and of grace, you call us through your prophets to repent, not because we're bad and worthless, but because you know, as we do not, just how much good there is in us yet to be discovered. You see the potential in us, waiting for the right soil in which to grow. You see the sins and failures of which we are so ashamed as obstacles to be removed and lessons to be learned from, so that we can be filled with your Spirit as Jesus was and change the world with him. Hold us steady now, we pray, as we do our best to repent or rethink our lives thus far. What is there that is good and needs to be celebrated? What have we learned since we last did this sort of thing with you? Where are the signs of growth that need to be nurtured? And where the unmistakable smell of decay that needs to be dealt with in order for new life to come? And now the good news, your sins are forgiven. And try not to make the same mistakes too often again. Loving God, we will continue to get things wrong. Of course we will, for we are human. Help us. Help us when we do to remember our baptism and all it signifies. A fresh start, a new beginning, our oneness with Christ, who was human too, and made that something to be proud of. May we be made clean, not just on the outside, but through and through, by the power of his Spirit in us, to the glory of his name, and for the whole world's healing. Amen.
Today's reading is taken from the Gospel according to Mark, beginning at chapter 1, verse 1. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophet Isaiah. See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Thanks be to God. Amen.
Up your eyes and look for him, Jesus, the coming Savior King, born to redeem the world from sin, bringing his peace to all. Now if you walk in darkest night, look for his dawn that's breaking bright. Nothing shall ever stop this light, bringing new hope to all. Oh, lift up your eyes, see the King. Worship the Savior, come praise him, Jesus the Lord of all. Oh, once in a manger he lay, Soon you will see him come again, not as the child of Bethlehem, but the returning King to reign, glorious Lord of all. Your eyes and look for him, Jesus, the coming Savior King. Now in your heart make room for him, worship him, Lord of all. Lift up your eyes and look for him, Jesus, the coming Savior King. Now in your heart make room for him, worship him, Lord of all. Oh, lift up your eyes, see the King, worship the Savior, come praise him, Jesus the Lord of all. Oh, once in a manger
to hear quite a lot from Mark's Gospel in the next 12 months. Since the Revised Common Lectionary, that's a list of suggested readings for church services, will focus on this Gospel in the new church year. Mark's Gospel is the shortest of the Gospels and generally thought to be the earliest one. Mark doesn't waste words. He starts straight away telling us that he's writing good news. Good news about Jesus. The very first words in the first verse of his gospel. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah. And this good news hasn't just appeared out of thin air. It's firmly rooted in the story of God's people. A people who had suffered and been oppressed for many centuries. They'd been conquered, exiled, occupied. Those willing to listen have been comforted by the words spoken by the prophets, words telling of God's promise to send the one who would save them, the Messiah. And so they had waited for centuries. And now Mark says, the Messiah has come. Jesus is the Christ, the promised Messiah. The promises made by God long ago through Old Testament prophets have been fulfilled. Mark quotes both Malachi and Isaiah. It's good news indeed. The hymn we sang at the start of this service reflects this passage. Hark, the glad sound, the Saviour comes, the Saviour promised long. The Old Testament prophecies also say that there will be a messenger who will prepare the way for the Messiah. It was common practice for a messenger or forerunner to go ahead of dignitaries to ensure that people knew that someone important was coming and could be suitably prepared for them. The messenger or forerunner also made sure that there were no obstacles on the road, broken down carts, etc. We see something of this today in the police motorcyclists preceding diplomatic or royal cars. Mark identifies John the Baptist as this messenger, this forerunner. In the Eastern Church, John the Baptist is known as John the Forerunner. John, like the Old Testament prophets before him, is to prepare the people for the coming of the Messiah, the coming of Jesus. The description of John's appearance, his hair garment and leather belt, and his behaviour place him firmly in the line of those prophets, as does his call to repentance, to turn back to God and be forgiven. Clean up your act, turn to God and accept his forgiveness. Get yourself prepared, for the chosen one of God is coming, the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. We will hear more about John the Baptist next week. Mark clearly sets his account, his good news, in the ongoing story of God's people. The story from the past, the Old Testament, the story that was happening in his present, and the story that looks to the future. This good news is not just something that happened 2,000 years ago in an obscure area of the Roman Empire. It happened in Mark's and John the Baptist's day, and it still happens today, and it will happen in the future. We are part of the ongoing story of God's people. We're in the season of Advent. The word Advent means coming. The Advent or coming of Jesus can be seen in at least three different ways: in the past, in the present, and in the future. The good news continues. In the past, the first coming at Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, the coming we look forward to celebrating each Christmas, Emmanuel, God with us. The good news of God's love and mercy that Jesus showed us. But we don't just celebrate an ancient event, for we know that Jesus told us that he will return in power and glory, bringing in his reign of love and peace, when death and sorrow will be no more, and his kingdom will be established in its fullness. This is the coming in the future, the second coming, which we heard about last week. And in between the first and second coming is the coming in the present. The coming that Jesus, our risen Lord, offers to each one of us every moment of every day. If we open our hearts to him, he will come in, forgive us, heal us, comfort us, help us, befriend us. We are part of this ongoing story of God's people, the story that includes the prophets and the people of the Old Testament, the story that includes the first disciples and the people of the New Testament, the story that includes the church, Christ's body on earth, people who have followed Jesus throughout the intervening centuries, those who've been evangelists, missionaries preaching the good news, some whose names we know, like St. Nicholas, the prototype of Santa Claus, who is often remembered on today's date, the 6th of December, but also many whose names are not known, those countless ordinary men, women and children who spread the good news by their everyday lives. The story goes on. Each one of us has our part to play in this ongoing story of God's people. Spreading the good news, showing people God's love, helping others to come to know Jesus in the little events of our everyday lives. In these days, where so much has changed, so much been lost, where so many feel surrounded by darkness, feel that they are in a wilderness, can we each be a voice that cries out the good news? In our own small way, can we share the hope that knowing Jesus, knowing a loving Father, brings? Can we sing out, "Hark the glad sound, the Saviour comes, the Saviour promised long"? Hark the glad sound, the Saviour is here, longing to offer his love, his healing, his comfort. We cannot keep this message to ourselves. Amen.
And now we bring our prayers for the world and all its people, including ourselves. God of faithful grace and goodness, we give thanks for the words of hope and peace and comfort that echo down the centuries from Isaiah to John the Baptist, from Jesus of Nazareth, through Mark the Evangelist, through translators and publishers and printers, bringing these words to us today. Comfort them, the prophet is told. Tell them that they have suffered long enough, their sins are forgiven. And so he does, so she does, so they do. Faithful God, may we be open to hear your word and daring enough to look in unlikely places for signs of your presence. May we be wise enough to discern which of the many voices that we hear speaks for you, and brave enough to pass on the radical good news that we hear. As John spoke from a barren desert place to people on the margins, far from the centres of power, so we pray for those who live in the margins now, their births uncelebrated, their deaths not publicly grieved. We pray for refugees and asylum seekers, for clients of food banks in this country, and for others who lack even that safety net. We pray for those whose fragile hold on coping has been shaken by the effects of COVID, those without secure jobs or money in the bank, those for whom home is not a place of safety, students without loving parents to go back to, old people without children to look out for them. We pray for those in positions of power, the best of whom feel powerless and admit it, troubled by the huge responsibility that they bear. May this be an opportunity for us all to reassess what really matters and what sort of world we want to live in. May our vulnerability create a crack through which your light can shine. As the solid ground of our confidence is shaken, may a tiny mustard seed of faith drop in, and your kingdom have a chance to grow. God, in just such times as these, have you sent your prophets to challenge the powerful and comfort the oppressed? In just such times as these, have you slipped in alongside your people to let them know that they're not alone? For you are with them. May we be among those who help to prepare the way for your coming. and may all the honour and glory be yours. Amen. And continuing in a spirit of prayer, we bring our own gifts, our offerings. We think of the wealth that we can share. We think of our abilities, our talents, our time. And we offer it all to our God. Our God, you give us always what we need and not what we think will make us happy. We ask for success and you show us how to grow through failure. We ask for peace and you set us a challenge. We ask for growth in numbers and you have us look for tiny things, for signs of the kingdom. But when we're hungry, you feed us. When we grieve, you console us. When we are weary, you let us rest. And now, what do you need and want from us? Not money, not right belief, not ritual praise, not even doing good things, unless that springs freely from lives steeped in love. So all that we can offer is what you have already given. We give it back with gratitude. We give it back with joy. And we bring all our praying together as we say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you. are in Bethlehem. Oh, praise Him, hallelujah. Come, all ye shepherds, come, wise men. Christ born, let He be born again. Oh, praise Him, oh, praise Him, hallelujah.
As we bring our worship to its close, may you know God's blessing from Father, Son, and Holy Spirit with you, with all those you love and those you should love today, throughout this Advent season, and always. Amen. Next Sunday, the 13th of December, there will be the video worship with colleagues from around the Presbytery of Lochaber. We're also going to have the Zoom worship at 11 o'clock, as we have been doing on the second Sunday of each month. And I hope that many of you will be able to share in that. And Sunday evening, the second Sunday in December, we would normally have been having the Peninsula Carols, and 80, 100 folk would normally gather in Struntian Village Hall to be singing some carols, to hear words of scripture, and to enjoy being together. This year, of course, we are unable to gather in that way. But the Peninsula Carols moves online, and I hope that we might have the biggest turnout ever. Let's see if we can get it into three figures in the viewers for the Peninsula Carols online. And you'll find that at aksm.org.uk/carols. And it will be available to view 7 o'clock Sunday evening or any time thereafter that suits you to be singing some Christmas carols. Keep safe. Keep that 2 meter distance, keep washing your hands, do all the things we're being asked to do that will help us all caring for one another. God bless you. Take care.